Just take a moment and let's just expand the universe a little bit, shall we?
You must unlearn what you have learned.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Caulfield Kenobi presents Legends Library.
There's always a bit of truth in legends.
Routine information is not repeat, not simply shouted in the general direction of its intended recipient. Is that clear?
To defeat an enemy, you must learn.
Now here are your hosts, Luke Siders and Randy Theriot.
But enough of this. You've come a long way to challenge me. Make a worthy effort.
Hey everybody, I'm Randy from Legends Library, and we are a podcast dedicated to the Legends line of Star Wars books. And this week, we have a special edition of Legends Library. We're going to introduce one of our frequent guests here at Legends Library. Slowly, these friends are evolving into co-hosts. But I don't know where that line starts and stops, but eventually, I guess if you're on enough, it just becomes a thing. So Cole Peel from Texas, welcome to the show.
Hi, good to be here.
awesome. Well, since you and Lisa are joining us more and more often, I just thought it would be really cool to have our listeners meet you. Just kind of have a one-on-one conversation here, just kind of let everyone get a chance to meet you So I'm just going to throw out a few questions. So how did you, like, what's your first memory? Going way back, what's your first memory of Star Wars?
Yeah. Of Star Wars in general?
Yeah.
Man, that's really tough because I don't really have a clear memory of, like, the first time for any of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that I'm nearly positive I saw at least one of the original trilogy in theaters whenever they did the 97 re-releases.
Okay.
Because my brother still has in his apartment, he has three posters that were like a Pizza Hut promotion at the time. We still have those. They were hanging in our room together for ages and ages. Now he's got them. So I was into it even then. And then obviously with the prequels coming out, I have a clear memory of seeing Attack of the Clones in theaters.
Okay.
And Revenge of the Sith.
But, and how about your first book?
I'm pretty sure my first book was probably the first Jedi Apprentice novel.
Okay.
And all right. I read those. I got all of those. I don't know if they were as they were coming out or pretty close to it. Because they were always at, like, the book fairs at school.
Oh, yeah. The Scholastic book fairs.
I would always, like, pick up those. And those were Scholastic books.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool. You know, I still see those from time to time, you know, like the banners on the side of the road. And I remember, you know, looking back and seeing I think it was like the Emperor or the something about the hand of Luke. There's a two three-part series that are now bound.
The Love of Darth Vader.
Yeah.
I got those too. But
that's awesome.
Those aren't remembered as fondly.
No, but still, it's part of it. It's the memory.
That's that's Jedi Prince. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. So awesome.
Yeah, I've got the hardcovers for those too.
So we've talked so much, and it's kind of hard to, like, remember the stuff that we've talked about either, like, in person or not necessarily in person, but where we text back and forth on our Slack channel or you know, if we've actually said it on air. So you've got favorite authors, right? Let us know what are some of your favorite authors, favorite books. Let's just totally jump down the rabbit hole of
hole. Okay. Yes, well, yeah. Probably the favorite author is probably Timothy Zahn. I mean, aside from the Jedi Apprentice books, the first, like, adult novel I've read was Heir to the Empire.
Okay.
That was the one that started it all. And I was like, oh, there's more stories that further the story after Return of the Jedi. And that was, you know, the hook. And after that, I was looking in used bookstores everywhere trying to find all the different books because there was, like, you know, some of the books had, like, lists in them. timeline and stuff. And I'm like, oh, so I've got to find this one and this one. And I've got the third book in this series, but I've got to find the first two before I can read it.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
all that fun stuff. That was an adventure trying to get everything. But yeah, Zahn's probably like the best just because he's got so many. He's got like, what, 10 or 12 books now? Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah,
and I would they're say, all great.
I don't know exactly, but yeah, he's up there now. And I think that. So you have a favorite Zahn book?
Probably Outbound Flight. Okay, I have a soft spot for Outbound Flight.
Yeah, right on.
I remember getting it pretty quick after it came out and being like in a doctor's office for some reason, like eye doctor appointment. Uh-huh. Huh. And like sitting in the lobby, like had gone in. I think I got my eyes dilated and they like told me to wait in the lobby for like 15 minutes for it to like finish. So I'm sitting in the lobby reading my Star Wars book because I'm a nerd. And I remember sitting there reading it and, you know, reading it. All of a sudden, I couldn't read anymore because my eyes got blurry.
That's awesome.
I have a really specific memory of that.
That's awesome. And it's really cool. I know that's Luke's one of Luke's favorite books in the whole entire Legends line. It's really amazing how it just fits so well. I mean, obviously, it's the same author, but mm-hmm. a different era. But still,
it's a totally different time frame.
Yeah, but it still feels like the same storytelling and all that, than the original Zahn trilogy. So
yeah,
it's a great fit. Great,
and it's one of the few books that fits between episodes 1 and 2. Like, there's really only a couple that fit in that time slot. So it's really cool seeing that weird between period where it's prequel era, but not Clone Wars yet.
Yeah, I would say there's only a few, and maybe I'm just kind of. Talking off the top of my head,
I'm looking at my shelf right now. The only books
one worth reading, them. Honestly, like
it's Rogue Planet and The Approaching Storm.
I guess we got to. I mean, yeah, Shatterpoint. That's in there somewhere, isn't it?
It's Clone Wars era, though.
Yeah, it's Clone Wars era. Yeah, so yeah, there's not very many.
There's not much there. There's a 10-year gap, but there's really not much in it.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of the most? Are you done with Alliances? By the way.
Yes, I am. I finished it Sunday.
Okay, we're not going to spoil it. I've got like three hours left. But what are you liking? What are you liking about that so far?
I liked it. I think it is probably one of my like lesser Zahns. I think we were talking on the Slack channel mm-hmm. before that about like which one's our least favorite Zahn book, and it might be honestly.
Okay.
But a lesser Zahn book is still a Zahn book, so I still enjoyed it. But
yeah, totally true.
It didn't grab me quite as much.
Even
though I read it like 3 days.
Yeah, and you really like the first Thrawn book, right?
Oh yeah, it was great.
I loved it too. I was hoping that there'd be a lot more connection to the end of with Vanto.
And there's really not much.
Yeah, so. And with Arlani and all of that stuff. It's not. There's
I think I was more disappointed in what wasn't there than what was. So
yeah, were you?
It may just be expectations.
Were you okay with, were you annoyed? I should kind of give my opinion before I ask you for yours. I really thought it was cool, storytelling in the first book, the whole, inner thoughts of Thrawn, and now, in Alliances, the inner thoughts of Thrawn and Vader. Mm-hmm. or Thrawn and Anakin. I think it's a really cool way. He's actually changing points of view there. Were you cool with that?
Like it's all like first person essentially, just it jumps between people.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's genius storytelling and really cool just to kind of hear the thoughts, and it does mm-hmm. give an opportunity to kind of telegraph just the intelligence of Thrawn, and then maybe the unsureness of Vader and the absolute skill of Anakin before he loses all his limbs and stuff. So
yeah, like late era Clone Wars Anakin.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm digging the book. I only have a couple hours left, but I agree with you that maybe it's not my most favorite Zahn book. The more that you know, the more that he puts out, I'm fine with anything he puts out. I'll probably read it.
I'll take anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I read his non-Star Wars stuff too, so.
That's cool. Hey, I should probably take this moment or take this opportunity here to just let everybody know, let our listeners know that Youtini.com, they have a Legends Library box that you can subscribe to, but they just recently put out their August subscription box has Thrawn Alliances and a poster of Thrawn on the bridge of the Chimera. The artwork is just stunning. The magazine they put out with it, the stickers, everything that come in this month, that came in this subscription box this month, is lights out, top notch, like just amazing. And so I now own a signed copy and of Thrawn Alliances, which is super awesome and feels super cool to hold it in my hands right now, because that's what I'm doing. But so far, from all of the canon books that have come out, every copy that I've gotten from Youtini.com has been a signed copy. It's been pretty, kind of spoiling this. They're spoiling us. Eventually, we're going to have one that isn't signed, but it's not this month, and it's cool. It'll be my second Timothy Zahn book that I have actually autographed. You have an autographed Zahn book, don't you?
Yeah, I've got a few. I actually had the privilege of meeting him several years ago now at a local convention.
Oh, cool.
And I got him to sign my 20th anniversary edition of Heir to the Empire.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And one of his non-Star Wars books that was one of my favorites. I brought those both to sign. And then I think I bought one book there, and he signed that too, obviously, because he's super generous.
Wow. That's super cool. Super cool. Well, so this is kind of a little bit of a unique situation. You're not the, I mean, we'll just kind of throw it out there just because you know what I'm about to say. You're not the biggest Clone Wars fan. And so the news of the big, the big reveal at San Diego Comic-Con, it's kind of a meh kind of response from you. What's going on with that?
Maybe we could lay down on that's the fair. I'm very happy for everyone that's like super excited and everything. Mm-hmm. But like, I really do just kind of have like a little bit of a chip on my shoulder about the Clone Wars series. And that just goes back to when it was first coming out. It was really one of the first times that the then canon stuff was like deliberately contradicting and overriding itself.
Okay, I gotcha.
And that ticked me off to a degree, especially because it was specifically some of those, the Republic Commando novels that Karen Travis was writing, that were some of my favorites. And I was like, they're just like throwing this stuff out. And I was like, no, and I wasn't watching the show at the time. I was just aware of it through, you know, the internet. Okay. I wasn't really following Clone Wars. I didn't have a way to, I didn't have Cartoon Network at the time. So,
okay. Well, that's, you know,
that was annoying.
I got you. That's different. So there's like, you know, people, I for some reason, I just feel I find that more, I don't know, I can handle that response, your response more, like, you know, because I saw the movie in the theaters when it came out with my son.
I wasn't even aware that it came out in theaters.
And we barely caught it ourselves. It was so, yeah. It wasn't sold very well or advertised very well. We barely caught it ourselves. And I missed like the first four episodes. Because I wasn't too happy with, like, the movie wasn't, it didn't like
it's
wow
not
me.
Great.
Yeah. But a friend of mine that I at the same, like, that had just started working with me in the office here, and he said, hey, do you, he said, he just started working. So he said, hey, I see you're a Star Wars fan because I'm always wearing the t-shirts and I have books all over the place. And I said, yeah, I'm a pretty big Star Wars fan. And he's like, well, have you been watching the cartoon? I said, nah, I don't watch the cartoon. And he said, well, you should check it out. It's pretty cool. So I did check it out. And I think I caught like the episode 5, which is the Rookies episode. And
it's a great episode.
Oh man, wasn't it? I was hooked. Yeah. I was hooked. So it's cool. It sounds like you have a velociraptor in the background. Is that what that is?
My roommate is watching a movie.
I got you. Yeah. No.
And it was really quiet for a long time, but now it got loud.
Oh, that's fine. I'm just teasing you. So no, I think it's really cool that you know, maybe your indifference toward Clone Wars is really a loyalty to the Republic Commando books and the Republic Commando material, which, in my opinion, that game is the coolest game that's ever, Star Wars game that's ever come out.
It's up there, definitely.
It's cool. But that's pretty admirable. Nowadays it's almost like, it's almost sacrilegious to say I don't like the Clone Wars, especially since, you know, the big announcement.
I'm aware.
yeah, I know you're aware.
Ferocity that people defend it.
But so. I mean, it's not that you're just like not liking it for the purpose of not liking it. I think that's really respectable. Like, okay, no, but that you were connected and emotionally connected to the other timeline.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the publishing of that material or the contradicting of that Republic Commando timeline is, it was jarring and it was hurtful, and we didn't get, you know, the rest of, you know, the Republic Commando series. So
that series not being finished properly.
And yeah.
I'm still a little bit bitter about that, and I can't get away from that.
Well, here's my take on it. Like, and I was just on Coffee with Kenobi, the main show, and that'll be released here in the next couple of days. But you know, right now Hasbro is having trouble selling toys. There's quite a bit of negativity in Star Wars fandom, or there's a vocal minority that's pretty loud. About, you know, it just, if there's a negative air, and I feel like it's all gone. Like the Clone Wars announcement, and you want to sell some toys. I mean, I was talking this over with my son, because that was like his wheelhouse when he was right at the right age. I mean, we have so many clones and clone figures. We have boxes of them, and mm-hmm. you know, because I quote bought it from, you know, oh, it's for the kids, hon. But yeah, so I was quote buying him toys, action figures and stuff, and so that's a majority of our toy collection is that era. But you want to save a market, and you start throwing clones out again, oh good night. And you know, the same mold, but just put different paint schemes on them. It's curtains. That's another one of those, you know, take my money kind of things. Because
oh yeah, I have many, many like Stormtrooper, Clone Trooper variant Black Series figures.
yeah, I know. Much to the chagrin of our budget or our wallet or whatever.
Yeah,
but, yeah. So well, it's cool it's cool to hear that you're still, you know, holding, and it's cool to hear also that you're happy for those that are fans of the Clone Wars, because
it's easier to like it now, because I really just look at it now as like the Clone Wars TV series isn't part of Legends, it's just part of the canon, and I just mm-hmm. kind of divorce it from that, and so I'm like, right, okay, it's fine, and I don't have as much of a problem with it, so I'm looking forward to what they put out. I'm sure it'll be good.
Yeah, you're absolutely going to watch it, right?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna watch it. Yeah. Sure. but I didn't watch the show. Like, I was just looking at, like, when I watched it, like I looked up on my Amazon history, because I remember buying the whole series on DVD to watch it. It was like in 2013.
Okay.
March-ish 2013 is when I bought the whole series, and then started just chewing through it because I felt like I needed to.
Right on. Well, eventually got all through all of it. You kind of do. That's a huge chunk of story if you miss it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you gotta, I mean, there are people that are pretty influential now in podcast-dom, Star Wars podcast-ness or whatever that you know, came on late and just recently binge watched Clone Wars. I'm like, man, alive. I can't imagine my fandom without having experienced the Clone Wars like week by week. And, there's just something about just the anticipation week after week, or man, you know, season.
I prefer binging, man.
I know you do. I know, but when you're into it, as it, like, you know, like I said, season one, episode five, you know, the rookies episode, you're just like, I mean, that we were hooked, and so it was week to week. We can't wait until the next one comes out, and you know, we'd watch it together. My son and I would watch it together, and It was just a memory making moment. It was right mm-hmm. It was a perfect storm of fandom and cool Star Wars and my son's age and all of that. And so, yeah, but I really appreciate, you know, your honesty. And I think we do get stuck sometimes to where, like, we feel like we're not allowed to not like something, or, you know, yeah. we're not allowed to, but that's cool. That's cool. Well, so we talked about the Thrawn, the new Thrawn book, and so that just recently came out. That's a recent release.
Yes, less than a week old still, or just over a week old.
Yeah, yeah. What are you looking forward to, like, in Star Wars fandom, Star Wars future? What are the things that you feel most optimistic about?
The Obi-Wan Qui-Gon novel by Claudia Gray.
Oh, great. I'm okay.
Very excited about that, because her books have been a highlight for me of the new canon stuff.
Very cool. So true. So true.
And I'm like, maybe it'll be like Jedi Apprentice a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's true. There's that.
Be like a throwback, you know?
That connection there. And then there's the whole Satine angle too, you know, to where maybe
I'm less interested in that, but, you know,
I'm not saying that I'm not saying that you were implying I can't wait for a love story, but the idea of Qui-Gon's tolerance, and, you know, that he thought of the Force different than other people did, and so there may be room for relationships that in their conversation where it wouldn't have been allowed in the Jedi Order as a whole. And so, you know, the sky's the limit there as far as conversation.
That very thing was happening in the Jedi Apprentice books. I mean, Qui-Gon kind of had a thing with another Jedi in those books, and Obi-Wan, one of his fellow apprentices, was kind of a thing for him way back in those. So
did you ever read the I think it's like Legacy of the Jedi? There was two that were kind of back to back, and
I've read those.
Yeah, I haven't read those, but do they tie into the same?
Yeah, it's Jude Watson, same author.
Okay,
and it kind of, like, I think it kind of bridges. I'm not as familiar with his the Jedi Quest books,
okay,
and something else, but that was the Obi-Wan Anakin story, like Jedi Apprentice.
Okay,
the Legacy of the. I think it's Legacy of the Jedi and Secrets of the Jedi, or like a pair of books that, like, had multiple eras in them. Like, I think there was a little bit of Dooku's apprenticeship, and then Qui-Gon's apprenticeship to Dooku, and then Obi-Wan's apprenticeship to Qui-Gon. And it was like multi-generational.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I can see the cover right now. Like, I can see the binding, but I can picture the cover, and there's some, like, female Jedi that are on.
Yeah, that is Ciri.
Okay. That's really, that for real, that's her name. Yeah, I gotta definitely take that off the shelf and dust it off and see. It's so funny. I own books that I haven't read.
Oh, me too. I'm trying to put an end to that, but, you know, it's a hard fight.
Okay. Is there a book that you haven't read that you feel like you should, or that you want to get to?
Well, I've been saving / dreading Crucible forever.
Oh man, that
it's one that, like, I don't want to read it because it's like the last book essentially.
Okay.
And then I've heard, you know, on the internet that it's not great.
No, so, it isn't.
So I've been putting that one off, but also I know I need to read it at some point.
I mean, I don't mean to, like, I don't mean to skew your, or to be biased, but, man, just let Mercy Kill, X-Wing Mercy Kill, be the last step in the canon that you read, and just get the Crucible. And
I can't do that. I'm not that kind of person. I've got to see the end, even if it's bad.
Okay, all right. I'm wondering if there's I'm wondering if there's a book on my shelf right now as I'm looking I've tried Knight Errant like several times, and I can't get through it.
I haven't read that one.
Obviously I haven't either. I just downloaded the audiobook for Labyrinth of Evil. I've listened to that several times, but I'm going back over it because it's going to probably bump into some of the content from the new Clone Wars season.
Probably, yeah. Now that you mentioned it, yeah, it should.
It has a really cool really cool plot line.
I don't remember too much about that one.
So we had recently talked about the Young Jedi Knight series too.
Oh yes, and
that's something that you've already. I haven't read that either.
Yeah, I read those like junior high school because our school library had them.
Oh man, that's so cool! And so on paperback, like the paperback versions.
I think they were like actually like special like hardcover,
like turtle shell or whatever they call them. Yeah,
I would love to have a set of those like that, but I imagine that's really hard to find.
Super hard to find. I've got the Sci-Fi Book Club versions of them.
I do too.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no. I have one and two. I have one and two. I'm missing three. But good luck finding that one for under $100. Like they're really hard to find.
I got a decent deal on that one, actually. I think.
You like all three? Like now, you know?
Yeah, I've got all three. I got the first two. I mean, I've got the first and third one decently priced on eBay, and then the second one I bought on Amazon for like a really good price, but then it came and didn't have the dust jacket.
Oh no!
But then I found another one on eBay, and I picked it up. So I actually have like a spare dust jacketless copy.
That's cool. Do you think it'd be cool? Like, yeah, because I had texted you earlier saying, hey, I finally found a copy of Lords of the Sith on eBay for like, you know, $16. And they've been going for like $50 to $75 because they were a short print of a hardcover. And then now they're right. Coming out with a really quick paperback right behind it. And so they don't do a second print or they're so the numbers are really low.
Have to get their right beginning.
Yeah. So I think it'd be really cool if somebody came up with some sort of like price guide for this stuff. Or if we did it, I don't know how we would establish that or how anybody would establish the value.
It'd be a lot to keep track of, like all the different used sellers and
But I mean, it'd still be pretty fun to be a good way for somebody to step into like serving the fandom or, you know, entering fandom. I think that would be a really fun project if I didn't have a day job.
Yeah. And I wish there was a service that would, could like reprint dust jackets.
Ooh,
like that would be amazing. Cause then I could buy versions of it that don't have the dust jacket and then just print off a new one or order one or something. That'd be amazing. But I've looked it up and it doesn't exist.
Wow. And I've actually looked up because I have all of the X-Wing series in paperback. Like what?
Yeah.
Because it was never offered in a hardcover. Wouldn't it be cool to have the hardcover versions, like to have that kind of like that turtle back or turtle shell version, like the one that you have?
I'm holding out hope maybe that, because I don't know if you've seen it, but the Han Solo trilogy, Barnes & Noble just came out with a version of it. It's like a leather bound version.
Yeah.
The trilogy.
Uh huh.
And that was recent. That was within the last like 6 months that they put that out. So I'm like, and that's Legends, like old school. It was only ever put out as a Sci-Fi Book Club hardcover.
Yeah. Yeah. So the like, maybe there's a Crispin one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd even love just Rogue Squadron. That first book in a hardcover would be pretty cool. Like just to see it in
maybe
hardcover.
They could do like the Rogue Squadron bit as like a giant hardcover, then the Wraith Squadron ones as a hardcover.
Oh, that would be cool.
And then like the final three that are all like kind of standalones as a hardcover.
And then put them all right next to Mercy Kill and we'd be good to go.
Mercy Kill is in hardcover and I have that one, thankfully.
So that's kind of your wheelhouse too, right? Like you're pretty
Aaron Alston, man.
Aaron Alston stuff. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he would be my top like three authors.
Okay, so Zahn, Aaron Alston, and Karen Travis would be your third.
Travis and Stover.
Okay.
Matthew Stover's up there, but he just doesn't have as many.
Yeah.
So it's harder to rank him as high, but like Revenge of the Sith is like the top book. So
wow. Oh man, and did a killer job with that. His whole thing in that book. I said we were going to jump down the rabbit hole and we're absolutely doing that, but his whole thing and the intro of that about he added like a
it's like a
prelogue.
I don't even know what you call it. This prologue thing that like serves as the opening crawl of the book, essentially.
Yeah.
And man, it gives me chills.
You're talking about the Kenobi and Skywalker, the Kenobi and Skywalker, like that whole like as if it's like a news report kind of thing, and the kids, the whole thing. It for you listeners that are out there, if you've not read that section, just the intro to that book, it is, you're right, Cole, it is chilling. Like, it is,
I'm getting chills right now thinking about it.
Yeah, that their kids stay up late, you know, trying to sneak stories, or, you know, trying to read stories about Kenobi and Skywalker, and how every kid wanted to grow up to be like, on the, you know, HNE.
Like, two kids are like fighting, and it's like the parents are like, oh, which one are you, Kenobi or Skywalker?
Yeah, that's cool. It's
like,
so,
these legends that kids, so reminiscent, like, emulate.
Of the end of The Last Jedi,
it,
you know,
it
the
is.
Little kid. Yeah.
It is.
Oh, wow. That's so good. All right.
And then I love the last sentence of it, I think, or the last like little bit is like, though it was the end of the age of heroes, it had saved its best for last. Goes into the beginning of the book, and it's just so epic in like poetry, how good that book is written.
So good. And, you know, that's a testimony to Matthew Stover and his writing style. We had already talked at length about Traitor. Yeah. Just,
and that one is also, it's the same thing.
Yeah. The writing in that is just, and the concept, not the writing, when I say writing, I mean the conceptual, just content. I don't know how to say it. I'm not good at articulating like literary terms.
Yeah, just, I'm not that familiar with.
Yeah, but just like the concepts
and such, but
that he came up with in that book were just mind blowing, and still, that one book probably has changed my reading of all Legends books more than any other book. That one right there, it's been pretty cool. So,
sure.
Well. I think, obviously, everyone can tell, you know, Cole, that you are, you're not a casual fan. You've got some deep cuts there, that as far as like a Jedi Apprentice and all the stuff that you've read. And honestly, some of that stuff is not, it's not mainstream, even mainstream Legends fandom. I mean, that's B-side stuff that you're talking
dregs.
About. But cool. But I do still have an appreciation for it. I love to hear that you're passionate about it. I'd love to hear that you are, that you're loyal to Karen Travis and her storyline and her timeline. That is super, super cool. But why don't you let listeners know how they can engage you in Star Wars conversation?
Okay. Well, I'm on Twitter at Mando Wraith. And then I've also got my own show called Abroa Skywalkers that I host. And it's also a Legends Book Club podcast, because I'm not original in any way. But we do like three, four chapters a week of books. And we've been going through the Han Solo trilogy right now. And we're in the third book of it.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Very cool. Well, if you get a chance to check out that podcast and subscribe to that podcast, that would be super awesome. You can support Cole and what he's doing. If you want to talk to Luke and I about any of this stuff that we just mentioned, please send us an email at legendslibrary@coffeewithkenobi.com. You can also send us a message on Twitter at Legends Library. Cole, it sure has been cool to have you hang out with us just for a little bit, to let listeners get to know you just a bit as we continue our series, our Legacy of the Force series.
Oh, it's been fun. Always enjoy it.
Right on. Well, thanks for joining me today. And for Legends Library, my name is Randy.
And I'm Cole.
And may the Force be with you. That concludes this edition of Legends Library. To join the discussion, please email the show at legendslibrary@coffeewithkenobi.com or comment and follow us on Twitter at Legends Library. Also, if you've not done so already, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave a review. Be sure to check out the other shows on our amazing network of podcasts: Coffee with Kenobi, Comics with Kenobi, Lattes with Leia, and Rebels Reactions. This has been a production of the Coffee with Kenobi Network. This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment for informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark or copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated. Legends Library. There's always a bit of truth in legends.